The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Welcome to episode 109 of Wealth Talk. My name is Christian Rodwell, the Membership Director for Wealth Builders, and I'm joined today by our founder, Mr. Kevin Whelan. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Chris. Good to be with you again, and an interesting case study today.
Yes, it's time for our member spotlight once again. We always shine a spotlight on a member who's had some great results over the last 30 days, and today that member is Adrian Taylor. So Adrian's a founder member, and we'll look forward to hearing his journey very, very shortly. Before we do that, Kevin, we're just a day away from our Academy launch webinar, which is tomorrow night.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Looking forward to, you know, sharing not just our insights, but some of our members sharing, you know, what they've gained. So it isn't what we say. In fact, what's really interesting from Adrian's story is he also says how non-salesy this whole process is with us. And we're very passionate about that, aren't we, Chris? We want to give people the best opportunity to create financial independence for themselves without sales tactics, without, you know, some form of constant upselling. And I'm very proud of what we've done. And thank you, Chris, so much for all the sterling hard work and effort you've done behind the scenes to update, you know, the back office, to update the membership area, and to do so much work, which is unsung. And I just want to give you my personal vote of thanks.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that. It's been really, really good, actually, over the last month or so, going back through the members area and obviously reshaping it to align with our 9-step recurring revenue roadmap. And we've recorded lots of new content as well, Kevin. And I'm proud as well. When I look at that, I feel like we really have got everything that someone needs to be able to really understand the process for building wealth and becoming financially independent. And of course, that's exactly what Adrian has achieved. So we'll be walking through the roadmap in the interview today. And of course, in tomorrow's webinar, we will be showing the roadmap on the screen. So you can actually see this come to life. So if you're not already registered and you'd like to join us for that, head on over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/academy launch.
Yeah, looking forward to that very much.
All right. So shall we head on over now and have a listen to our spotlight on the member for this month, Adrian Taylor. Adrian, welcome to Wealth Talk today.
Hi, Chris.
Good to have you on. And we actually had our end of month Q&A with our members last night, and you shared what you're going to be sharing with us today. And it was so good to see all of the positive comments and feedback, everyone congratulating you on your journey so far. So today we're going to be walking through the recurring revenue roadmap. So the 9-step process that obviously we teach our members to move from a place of insecurity through to security and then onto independence. So are you ready?
Yes. That's far away one of the questions.
All right. So let's start from the beginning then, Adrian. So can you remember when you joined Wealth Builders?
So I joined in May 2009. That's 2019, sorry, I should say. So I was right at the beginning as a foundation member at the start of the year.
You were indeed. And the program has definitely evolved in that time. And we didn't have the roadmap when we began, but obviously the kind of fundamentals were still there. So now we've got obviously a much more structured process. But let's start with step one in that process. And we know this is stage one, which is all about building confidence at the beginning. And step one is all about mindset, Adrian. So let's start with why. So why was it important for you to build wealth?
I'd reached the point really where I was doing the day job and doing well in the day job, but I realised I didn't want to still be there sort of 20, 30 years later, still in the same position, which is where I would have been if I just carried on as I was. So I realised there was a need to do something different. I wasn't sure exactly what it was at the time, but I knew I needed to do something to sort of get out of the just being stuck, going to work, spending in a monthly salary each month and having nothing to show for it in the long term, really.
Yeah. And what was it about Wealth Builders that attracted you?
It was the no-nonsense, no-selling sort of approach that wealth builders take. I'd attend, you know, I'd been in, quite heavily involved with a number of property training companies in the couple of years before I joined Wealth Builders. And they all sell everything you go to, they sell you something else sort of thing. And Wealth Builders isn't like that. It's advice. And if you need training, if you need something that you are going to have to pay for, they'll point you in the right direction of where to go, which might be from within Wealth Builders or it might be from outside.
Yeah, great. So we got going, we got clear on your why. And the next step then is step two, which is the foundation step, which is really about getting crystal clear on how much asset income you're generating currently and how much you require in order to reach the next wealth level. So which of the five levels of wealth were you at when you joined, Adrian, and where are you now?
So I was at insecurity when I joined. So as I said, I was just earning my money and spending it each month and not really keeping any. But I've now just reached financial independence. So it's a good milestone to reach.
It certainly is. It's incredible. And maybe we'll touch on later exactly how long that journey has been. Obviously, it's only been a couple of years since you joined Wealth Builders, but, you know, perhaps already had a little bit of momentum building before that point. But I mean, congratulations. That is remarkable. And then the other part of step two, the foundation, is the debits process. You know, we kind of urge all of our members to go through, look at their outgoings and see if there's any savings that can be made. Can you remember if you managed to find any, uncover any hidden money?
I do recall that when I very first did it, after joining Wealth Builders, I found about £200, I think, which was sort of from changing energy bills, phone providers and things, so a little bit from each one sort of thing. But it did add up to a worthwhile amount of money. And I now have a note on my wealth chart every February to redo it because things slowly slip and you don't realise that you've ended up on an expensive tariff with someone and you could change it to a cheaper one. So it's definitely a good thing to be doing on a regular basis.
Yeah, and the key then is when you find those savings, Adrian, is to reinvest them in some wealth building activities. So where would that be for you?
Well, for myself, it's always been in property. So it's property investments that I've been putting the money back into that I've been finding.
Okay, great. So moving on to step three, final step of the stage one here, which is the roof. So were you able to review each aspect of the roof, Adrian, and just make sure that you had the necessary protection in place?
I was, yeah. I was a little bit slow on some of it, really. It took me until March last year to do my will and my power of attorneys. Yeah, I was quite sluggish on those, and then they're not glamorous things to do, and it was always something that I could find something more exciting to do up until that point. But I did get it done eventually.
You did, and probably because you kept hearing us keep going on about it, right? And we make sure that everyone's, you know, got that roof in place. And even if it does take a bit of time, as it did with you, Adrian, at least you've got it now, right?
Yeah, it's now in place. So it's
does that give you a
relief to know it's there?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, does that give you a bit of peace of mind now, knowing that you've got that safety?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Good. Okay. Moving into stage two now. So stage two is all about building knowledge. And we begin with step four, which is assets. So of course, the seven different assets that we refer to as pillars, which you can build your wealth in, Adrian, which did you already have some experience with when you first joined? And have you been able to utilize any other pillars since?
So the property pillar is the one that I'd already started on when I joined Wealth Builders. And I'd also got the pension pillar active as well at the time. Since then, I've also added some under the investment pillar. I've started doing some investments outside of the property pillar. So
Brilliant, brilliant. Three pillars in play there. Good. Step five is leverage. So leverage is key to building wealth, and it isn't necessarily always financial leverage, but there's intellectual leverage, there's relationship leverage, systems, and of course, time. So can you provide us with any examples, Adrian, of how you've brought leverage into play to help you build your wealth?
The biggest area I've brought leverage into play is time. All through this process up until now, I've been working a day job, and that obviously means that my spare time isn't that plentiful. But I've been working on the property side of things with my dad all the way through this. He'd been into property beforehand, and that had allowed him to get out of doing a full-time work earlier than that. He is now of retirement age, but he still enjoys working with property, and he's been a great joint venture partner, sort of doing things along with me when building a property portfolio. So
there you go. Well, there's another pillar bringing into play there, right? The joint venture with your dad and relationship leverage. So it all comes together. Good. Next step is strategy. So we know that your pillars were property and the pension pillar. So what were the main strategies then within each of those pillars?
So serviced accommodation was sort of the main one I started off with, and it probably still is the main focus within the property pillar for me. So I'd started the serviced accommodation journey early 2017, and the business really got off the ground in the middle of 2017, really, when we took on our first property to run in the serviced accommodation business.
So that requires management of the serviced accommodation, right? So any systems in play there to help you manage those bookings?
Yes, so it's quite a systemized business. So we use a program called Tokeet, which is a bookings management system. So that manages the bookings coming in, manages the calendar, and it provides an invoicing system. So that can talk to booking.com, it can talk to Expedia, it can talk to Airbnb and various other platforms, and manage the bookings coming in through those. As well as allowing us to take direct bookings.
Yeah, and that helped. I guess that minimises the amount of time, obviously, because those systems are working hard for you. And then what about the management of the properties? How have you dealt with that?
So the management is largely taken care of by our housekeeping staff. Contract cleaners we work with. Two cleaning companies, we've got two areas where we've got SA, so two separate cleaning companies, one in each area. But they are the ones that look after the property on a day-to-day basis in between guests. They'll go in, do a full clean, change all the linen, manage cleaning, getting the linen washed and so forth, and they report any issues that are found. So they've got sort of a checklist to go through to make sure that the place is ready for the next guests arriving. So they just get a message, they get told when the guests are arriving, when they're leaving, and they go in and do the cleans in between. So sometimes it's quite nice when you realise a guest has come and stayed and paid and you haven't even done anything.
I bet. And how have you fared? Obviously, service accommodation in some areas took a hit during COVID. What's been your tenant type and how have you found the business?
We've not been too bad on that, really, because we set up the business right from the beginning to aim at business travellers and contractors and so forth. So the properties we've chosen aren't in tourist areas. They're not really aimed at tourists. So all through the various lockdowns, we were able to carry on taking bookings. The number of guests dipped, obviously. There were less people travelling for business, People weren't travelling where they didn't need to, but there was still a fair number of people who had to travel for business because they're doing a job that means that they have to be on site somewhere. So we still kept bookings coming in all the way through the COVID period at a reduced rate, but we were also able to claim government grants in the same way that all businesses have been able to. So overall, we probably fared quite well out of that and made more profit than we would have done in a standard year, I think.
Yeah, that's good. And obviously now, you know, I guess the bookings are flourishing even more because people are, you know, desperate to get out and start moving around again.
Yes. So, now there's a shortage of accommodation everywhere. So we've got bookings from all sorts of people coming in at the moment. So as soon as anywhere's available, someone will book it for one reason or another at the moment. So.
And now the other interesting thing when we talk about wealth building agent is obviously ownership of assets, but you can also control assets. So some of those service accommodation properties, tell us a bit more about, you know, how you've gone about acquiring those properties.
So they all within that service accommodation business, they're all rent-to-rent properties. They're not owned by that business. They're rented in the main from private landlords that would previously been renting out to standard tenants on a buy-to-let basis. But they've realised that we're a good tenant to have in there. We give them much longer occupancy than a normal tenant would when they'd be leaving every few years and the landlord would have to find another tenant. So it's not many landlords we've got. There's most of the properties are owned by a small group of landlords, and that keeps interfaces to a minimum. It makes it easier to manage everything on from both sides. But it allows us to not have to buy the property to start renting it out, and because the service accommodation is a much higher yield business than a standard buy-to-let, then we were able to make a profit on that and still pay the landlord a good rent for the property. And obviously we maintain it for them as well. So there's an extra benefit there for the landlord.
Brilliant. And then moving on to the pension pillar then. So what's been your strategy there to help you build your wealth?
So I'd set up a SaaS just before I joined Wealth Builders. So I'd come across the concept of SaaS, sort of connected with other property training I'd done previously. Empowered Pensions was the company I selected to set up my SaaS. So obviously then through the link between Empowered and Wealth Builders is when I came across Wealth Builders. So my SaaS runs sort of quietly in the background. I've lent money out of the SaaS to the limited company that we've now set up to buy property. So that's the SaaS has enabled purchase of a property within that, and then other investments within the pension are being set up ready to bring more money into that. So.
Brilliant. Good to see the pillars working together. So let's move on into stage three then, Adrian. So we've built our confidence, stage one. We've built our knowledge, stage two. Stage three is building assets. So it's obviously taking those strategies. It's turning the wheel of wealth. And that means education, support, connections, due diligence, and then taking guided action. And this is where our wealth coaches are there each month to help our members stay laser focused and turn the wheel. So what benefits have you gained from your coach since joining, Adrian?
Bronwyn's my coach and she's been a great guiding hand really through everything. The one specific thing that sort of sticks out that she helped me with February this year, I was quite a low point. Nothing seemed to be happening as it should have been. I was trying to refinance a property that was just taking forever, which is sort of just a side effect of the lockdown and everything else that's slowing down things at the moment. And that was getting me down. Just the monthly call with Bronwyn, she sort of picked me up, set me back on track, really. After that, I've been able to move on as I should have been, and I think without that one particular coaching call that month, things could have been completely different. And it's that sort of thing that you need. Not necessarily every month. Some months everything's going well, and it's just a nice, pleasant chat on the coaching call. But other months, you really need help with something, and that help is really just pointing out what you already know that you need somebody to do that sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's a quite important point you mentioned there. You know, some months, you know, everything's just ticking along nicely. You know, there's nothing really that you need specific help with, but the key is still to book in that call, because it helps build that relationship. You know, your coach wants to hear that things are going well. You know, that's good. It means the plan is working. And there's always going to be hiccups along the way, right? So one month, everything seems brilliant. The next month, it's like all hell breaking loose. So the key is consistency and checking in with your coach every 30 days, just updating them. That was really good to hear, obviously, Bronwyn, who has got so much experience. You know, she understands the process. Very pleased to hear that. So let's look at step 8, which is all about the results, Adrian. So you mentioned when you joined, you were at financial insecurity, and you've just recently hit financial independence. So tell us what's kind of tipped you over the edge.
So the one thing that's tipped me over the edge is that property that I was struggling to get refinanced. So that on its own has added another £500 a month to the wealth thermometer. And that was it's a mixed use commercial property. It's a shop and upper. And that was bought under auction conditions, in November last year, with a bridging loan. And the sort of since then there was refinancing going through the solicitors and the mortgage brokers. There was various hiccups along the way. But that in April that all got finalized. So I at that point considered that I could then count the income coming in from that property, separately from the shop downstairs and from the flat upstairs. Together they bring in around £500 extra a month, which has tipped that wealth thermometer into the independence.
So how did that feel, getting the red pen out and filling in that thermometer and seeing you hit that really significant number? How did that make you feel?
Yeah, it's a great feeling to hit that number and then sort of pass another milestone on the way. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And that triggered another thought in your mind, didn't it, with regards to how you spend your time every day. So tell us a little bit about the decision that you made.
Yeah. So off the back of that, I'm going back to my original why as well. The day job has now become it's surplus to requirements, as you could probably say. So I'm not leaving it immediately, but I've set a date to get out of that in October. So I've decided that October is my escape the rat race date, and I'm going to hand in my notice then and leave the day job.
Going to sack your boss.
Yes, I'm sack my boss here.
That's good. Now, what are you going to do with all that free time, Adrian? Are you going to focus on wealth building? Are you going to chill out, or you've got some other plans?
So there's obviously going to be a bit more focus on wealth building. There's things I can do with the SA business that I haven't had time to do previously. So there's going to be some extra effort in that. But the big thing that I want to do that I'm going to do is I'm going to do more classic car maintenance. It's always been a hobby of mine. And I've always felt it could be a business, but not really known how to create that into a business that can generate sufficient income. So I've got the freedom now to do that as a sort of part-time business. It doesn't need to generate a full-time income anymore, and I can enjoy helping people out with their classic cars.
Yeah, do more of what you love. That's brilliant. So the final step in the process then is accelerate. And this is really all about just turning multiple pillars. So repeating the process of choosing your pillar, choosing your strategy, finding your points of leverage, and turning multiple wheels will obviously get you to a place of financial independence. And now for you, Adrian, the target is financial abundance. And for most people, the journey from financial insecurity to financial independence will take on average 5 years. So tell us about that journey, Adrian. Obviously, you've been with Wealth Builders for 2 years, but we were chatting earlier and you kind of were thinking back to when you started.
Yeah, so my journey really started in 2017, which is when I started looking at the SA business. So it was January 2017 when I did the first training on serviced accommodation. And the business was building up in 2017. We took on our first property, our first rent-to-rent, around the middle of 2017. I'm not quite sure if it was June or July, but it was one or the other. So it's taken me, give or take a bit, 5 years to build up to financial independence.
Almost 5 years, isn't it, to the month. Good. And what do you see now as being key to helping you continue to stay focused and take the necessary steps to push on from here?
I still need support. Nobody can do this without support and guidance. And I think the support from Wealth Builders carries on being completely relevant. Ongoing really from now. The guidance of a wealth coach is still an important thing to have, and the way that Wealth Builders breaks things down using the Wheel of Wealth and into sections, and obviously I've been adding further strategies and further pillars alongside the SA as things have gone along, and it's that guidance of splitting things up into small chunks that's allowed me to do that, and I'll continue to do that in the same way with the guidance of Wealth Builders, really.
Brilliant. Yeah. And never let 30 days go by without taking some action to build your wealth. And you've been doing that consistently, Adrian, and that's got you to where you are today. So once again, congratulations. And thanks for being a great member of Wealth Builders. Always appreciate you sharing.
Thank you for asking me on. It's been great to talk about my story.
Okay, so we will go through and dissect some of the points that were made there by Adrian. But before we do that, let's head on over to Trustpilot and pull out one of our latest reviews. And there's one here from Nigel. Nigel says, deciding on choosing a SaaS pension as an option shouldn't be taken lightly. And Wealth Builders have provided incredible support and guidance during the process before and during my application, playing a huge part in the success of my SaaS being approved by HMRC. The ongoing training and support has been incredibly helpful and couldn't recommend Wealth Builders enough. They also provide a strong network of like-minded people that has huge value. Thanks to the team.
Very good, very good. So a combination of things in there, isn't it? Really one of the power, as we often hear this replayed, of SaaS, turning your old pensions into a sort of an arrowhead to shape your future. And in a way, Adrian did that, didn't he, Chris? He used a SaaS once he'd got it set up to acquire assets by using the loan back facility. So in other words, he took pension money and turned that money into money that he could use for property, whereas before that, his pension would have been kind of consigned to when he was older. and would have no possibility of helping him become financially independent within a short time frame. Because, you know, if you want to be financially independent and you're 40 and you can't touch your pension till you're 55 normally, well, you've got to wait 15 years. Whereas, you know, you can make this a real contribution within a few short months, which is what we did with Adrian and what we did with Nigel and what we do for so many. And the other point I think Nigel makes very nicely too is the community of like-minded people. And I think I want to really emphasize that point, because wealth is not best done and achieved in a DIY fashion. It's best done with community. And as Robert Kiyosaki will often say, and obviously we know the seminal book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, is, you know, wealthy people, successful people build networks and seek out networks, and those who are not seek out work. And what we can hear from Adrian is he sought out and he was actively seeking, wasn't he? Different networks and different places to learn, and he took some learning from some places and felt a bit sold to in many cases, but nonetheless got some good education and, you know, he's put that education to work. And I'm proud of what Adrian's done in relatively short space of time, and 5 years pretty much from start to finish, which is what most people seem to do, Chris.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, just touching on that point you made there, and stage one of the roadmap is all about building confidence, but it's not just building confidence in yourself and the process, but I guess building confidence in a relationship with us to know that we are a trusted guide and we are there to support and help people every step of the way.
Well, I think anybody just needs to look at Trustpilot to see that. I mean, it's there in abundance, isn't it, Chris? What people say about us, and it's not for us to blow our own trumpet. Enough people are in the orchestra behind us tooting away, and we're happy with that because we think, you know, that community spirit is great. But let's not underplay, of course, the hard work Adrian has put in on his own. And I want to make a key point that, you know, a large part of what Adrian has done, you know, and he's an understated gentleman, isn't he? You know, he's not a driver, he's not a charismatic character who's going to light up a room and light up a stage. He's a very soft-spoken gentleman. And I think what he's done by using the rent-to-rent strategy, he's got off his rear end and has worked hard. Because in order to get rent-to-rent, the key thing to understand here is you're building wealth without actually owning the asset. So a lot of people think, don't they, Chris, that, oh, I can't possibly build wealth, I don't have enough money. Well, it's not money that counts. It's effort and focus and being an entrepreneur and solving the problem of other people. So what was that problem that he was solving? Well, rent to rent basically says you find or you look for, let's say, crusty old properties and crusty old people who are tired and fed up with being a traditional landlord. No disrespect intended, it's just a joke. But nonetheless, you find those landlords who really don't want that uncertainty. Maybe COVID has had a problem for them. Maybe, you know, they just don't enjoy the tenant relationship anymore. And you become their tenant. And you say to them, hey, I understand your problem. I understand you don't want to deal with tenants. You're just going to deal with me. I'm going to take this property off your hands for, yeah, maybe as long as 5 years, and I'll give you a guaranteed rent. Wow. I mean, how does that sound if you're a landlord? That sounds great. Then with their permission, he turns that property, which would traditionally have been used for a single let to a single household, a single family, and with a, you know, a little bit of money, not a lot, turns that money, just alters the accommodation slightly and makes it available to a tenant type that I think he was really, really rather smart to identify, which is the blue-collar tenant. You know, the what I think he calls the sort of traveling worker, the contractor, people on sites, people doing work, but they don't want to stay in a hotel. You know, they want to stay in a place where they can watch TV, they can cook their own food, they can have people around, they can have a beer or whatever and not cost them the earth. And enjoy the experience. And why not? It's like a home from home, really. So I think he's done an outstanding job. And of course, he recognized that. owning assets is much better than controlling assets, because once you own them permanently, which is a word that we need to constantly emphasize about recurring revenue. It needs to be permanent, needs to be predictable. And I think he said that's when he realized when it became permanent, when it became predictable, he started recording it on his recurring revenue map, which in our case on the wall chart, Chris, is our thermometer, isn't it? And I think you heard him say, or you said to him, did you enjoy colouring in the line as your thermometer was on the rise? That was quite interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. And of course, as we often say, you can't get wealthy without bringing leverage into play. And with that strategy, he did very much bring leverage into play. And then also by leveraging the systems to manage the bookings and leveraging people. He talked about obviously having his team of people who just kind of go in, make sure the place is looking good, everything is cleaned and fresh, and he doesn't really have to get too hands-on with that.
Yeah, I remember him saying he had a little smile to himself, didn't he, when he didn't actually do anything and people were coming and people were starting their tenancy, finishing their tenancy, new people coming and starting a tenancy, and his bank balance was on the rise and he was sitting there thinking, hang on a minute, I'm not doing anything here. It's really quite interesting. But he had done something, hadn't he? He put in the hard work, put in the systems, and now he's going from strength to strength. And this is the point, you know, once you get to a place of independence, it's a matter of automation, really, to carry on forward to abundance. It doesn't stop. So it's not like you get a journey to independence, because if you reach independence, you will automatically move forward to abundance, because it's a natural progression if you're not spending all the money. And he, fortunately, he was in a position to choose when he wants to stop work. And wow, what a feeling, you know, October, that's the day, you know, and whatever that was, who knows. But something in his mind said, you know, in October, I'm just going to go, right, that's me done. And fair play to him. So, you know, well done, Adrian.
Yeah. And obviously, he referred to his coach, who was Bronwyn, who was on last week's episode. Bronwyn, of course, talking about freedom of location. And maybe, you know, he's picked up a few ideas from Bronwyn there in terms of, you know, remoteness and being quite hands-off from the day-to-day activities. But, you know, key point there, he said, is just turning up every month for the coaching call. The coaches are there to hear, you know, what's going well, what's not going so well. And, you know, that is a key aspect of our members. The ones we see progressing are the ones who always show up every month.
Well, that's what it's all about, Chris. I mean, it's a bit like any sports, you know. It's not just what you do on the field that counts. You've got to show up to practice. You've got to show up to training. And that's what Adrian is doing, and I applaud him for it. And that's what most of our Wealth Builder clients do. You know, they show up and they, even if nothing's happened, you know, they're still getting involved. They're still talking about what's happened this month, even if it's not a lot, because you never know, that conversation might lead to a distinction that moves you in a different direction for the better by 30 days after that. So every 30 days, we're encouraging a connection with somebody. And look, if you're not in the program, just every 30 days, connect with somebody, a buddy, a friend, a training buddy from On Wealth or whatever. But either way, you know, tune in with somebody. And if you like the sound of what we do and how we do it, you know, check it out tomorrow on the 3rd of June. Have a listen to what we're about, and you're always welcome to connect with us. We're often in Clubhouse and other places where you can actually engage in a conversation with us. So rather just listening to Chris and I, you're more than welcome to interact with us there as well.
Yeah. And just a quick reminder then, wealthbuilders.co.uk/academy launch is the place to register for that webinar tomorrow night. And I guess final words there is that whilst Adrian has now reached independence, his journey with us is certainly not over. And, you know, he mentioned the ongoing support and guidance there, which will help him stay focused and accountable each month.
Well, also, he's staying in the community of like-minded people. Why would you want to get to financial independence and then go all lonely on yourself? You know, there's no point in doing that. There's usually what we find, those people who reach independence want to give back, don't they? So he'll be active, I'm sure, in the Facebook group. And who knows, at some point he might say, you know, I can coach this and want to give back. But that's up to Adrian. And but many of our coaches started life as followers and students, didn't they, Chris? So we're grateful for that. And we're looking forward to, you know, sharing more about that in the next day or so, and look forward to maybe meeting some of you guys as the roadmap starts to unlock as well for for our current lockdown. So hopefully all good news, although it seems like it's slowing down a little bit.
Well, look, once again, congratulations to Adrian. And we hope you enjoyed listening to that today. And we'll be back same time, same place next week, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we'll have a good session tomorrow. And until then, Chris, I'll see you.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.